Welcome
That's it.
back to another episode of the Huxley Morton podcast, where this week I am joined by Charles Gellman, CEO at Hydo Health. Charles, welcome to the show. I'm interested to hear more about the company and what you're doing, because it's when you and I first spoke, I was a little bit almost baffled by this and just surprised I hadn't come across it before. But yeah, for kind of the audience, could you give us a quick insight as to the company and I guess what it is you do, I guess?
Definitely. Well, James, thanks for having me on the show. And, you know, I appreciate you welcoming me in. Hydo specializes in AI-assisted robotics. So to bring things back and for everybody to understand the audience, I want you to think about your last interaction with your doctor or your nurse and that limited amount of time that you had with them and the amount of information that's communicated from your doctor to you. And oftentimes patients feel very nervous because of what's going on in their life or what type of disease state that they might have. And getting the information across is very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. So that interaction oftentimes gets miscommunicated. So what we do, what we specialize is making sure that the prescribed regimen that your physician or your nurse gives you is followed to the T at home to ensure the health and well-being of you, your friends, your loved ones are taken care of accordingly.
Okay. And I guess, look, if we're focused on the patient there, is this for a particular type of illness, disease, whatever it might be? What is it? Is there a particular focus, or is the, you know, Hydo focused on a range of areas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the great thing about the application of Hydo, which is really to smooth out the medication delivery process in the home, is that it can help folks that have a multitude of different chronic disease states. So this isn't for the folks that are DIYers. So if you like to work on your house and got everything dialed in and you like to take ownership and accountability of everything and you're good, this probably is not the right fit. But for the folks that struggle or maybe are challenged with remembering what's going on and they have family issues or they have, you know, work or other things that they're trying to balance, they may forget about their medications. This is where the Hydo device can serve them. And really the goal is to help them release some of that burden that they currently have on their shoulders. So what Hydo does is it removes that type of challenges that they have and just smooths out the process for them in the home.
Okay, interesting. So how does this work then? How does it remove that burden? How does it remove that, I guess, yeah, you know, what is that specific problem? How is the device? And I can see, I believe that's the device in the background there. How is this device making patients' lives easier and perhaps caregivers as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right now the patients, you know, are fully responsible to remember all the different medications, the regimens, the timing, the frequency, the count, and take those on a regular basis and coordinated effort. Mm. And so what the Hydo device does is it uses Face ID to unlock the device. So it's the right person, the right frequency. Then we have an embedded RFID chip inside each pill cap that remembers the dosage, frequency, name, and count, and dispenses the right medication at the right timing, and then records it. So you don't have to remember when you took the medications, nor which medications you took. So everything is automated for a patient to walk up and get that experience versus having to remember everything. So we ease the burden on patients and providers by eliminating a lot of the confusion that occurs within that short window of time in that interaction that occurs right now.
Okay. So is this aimed more so at patients, I don't know, I don't want to stereotype, but maybe are elderly or have dementia or something like that, where it's an issue to remember what to take, what, you know, because I mean, if it was, let's say it was myself, you know, like to think I'm fairly fit. And if I ever go to the doctors, he's probably just going to give me a pack of 20, you know, it could be antibiotics that I need to take for 10 days straight. I'm probably going to be quite good at just taking them. So is this for a particular type of patient, in particular in terms of like the target market?
There, so the target market really is chronic care disease state, but a lot of folks think it's for elderly patients with dementia and Alzheimer's, and we do service those folks. But I'd like to share with you a story about Anthony. Anthony is in his mid-40s. He had a stroke, he has a wife, and after the stroke, he was paralyzed in half of his body.
Wow.
And, there's a lot of folks that suffer from cardiovascular disease, and you never plan to have a heart attack or a stroke or, a life-altering event. And what's interesting with Anthony is that he's relatively young, and cardiovascular disease, is one of the top, precursors for, death in the world that can be prevented. But what's interesting about his particular story is that he was fully dependent on his wife, Helen.
Right.
And there's a lot of people in this world that are solely dependent on their loved one, and it creates a lot of extra stress in the home. So Anthony was able to use the Hydro device with half his body paralyzed, roll up in his wheelchair, and had the independence and freedom to be able to take his medication when needed without being fully dependent on his wife. And that just opens up the window of what is possible. And I think a lot of our self-perceptions are limiting other people's beliefs in what they're capable of doing when they might be capable of doing a lot more than what's happening right now at home.
Yeah. Okay. So, I get, I'm soon to turn 40 myself, and I wouldn't necessarily want to be dependent on the missus in order to take pills, et cetera. So to an extent, it's given him back kind of a little, more independence than perhaps he would have otherwise had.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, when you have a traumatic event like that, when you have a stroke, and he's a shell of what he used to be. And Anthony used to go to the gym. I mean, he was absolutely yoked, big guy, strong, his wife, 6'3", 250 pounds. Now, he's a shell of his former self in a wheelchair. So, what that does from a mental standpoint and confidence level, when you're fully dependent on somebody else, when you never have been, is significant. So just taking some of that back from a mental health standpoint is significant for people. Just knowing that they can care for themselves without assistance because they have a device that can assist them. It's just a change. It's a monumental change in their life and their lifestyle.
Okay. So look, where did this idea come from? Because I mean, certainly in this instance, and I guess Anthony's story where he's kind of a, he's not old, he's not got dementia, he's just had an unfortunate situation where he needs support, and he kind of needs to be able to fend for himself with taking pills. I mean, surely that wasn't something where you maybe set out and thought, this is what I'm the problem that I'm looking to solve. Where did the initial idea come from? Was it something like that? I don't know whether it was, whether Anthony's a close friend or whether it's, there's something else that has prompted this. Because, I mean, that's amazing that you've been able to give him back some of that independence. Where did the initial idea come from, Charles?
Yeah, so my background's in data science. So I finished my master's research in clinical informatics. And the idea came from trying to figure out a blueprint for health, based upon the different cocktails of medications that you can correlate blood work and outcomes, which is hospitalizations, emergency room visits, or the total cost of care for those individuals. But in order to understand that loop system, you need to know whether or not people have taken their medications as prescribed. And right now that's a major problem, because I'm going to throw out a trivia question to you and for your audiences. Guess how many people, percentage wise, take their medications according to how they're prescribed?
Oh, blimey. I would say minimal. I'm going to probably go like as low as 20%.
So for your audience, it's anywhere from 40 to 50%, which is projected, because we don't actually know what's going on in the home,
right,
are taking their medications as prescribed by your physician or your nurse. So just think about that. So just in the United States, and not throughout the world, but just in the United States, there's over 6 billion prescriptions going out a year. Over half of those prescriptions that are paid for aren't taken as prescribed. So you have a monumental impact within society and humanity because they have access to these medications that aren't taken, or they're overdosed or underdosed. So even out in the, you know, in Europe, in the UK, think of how many people at home have access to medications, but they're simply not taken as intended. You know, what a travesty that is.
And I would say, I mean, that's what's probably recorded. And, you know, that's, I don't know how that data is collected, but just my own skepticism, I would maybe imagine that it's maybe not as high as that, just because, let's face it, we all do it, right? You know, you're given a set of pills and it's kind of like, I'll take one a day at this time and whatever. It's, you never quite do it as prescribed, it would be my own thoughts. So how does the device then combat this to help patients get that? Because I guess if they're taking it as prescribed, they're going to be a lot better off, for one. So how does it support them with that?
So the Hydo device really is a behavioral modification device, you know, and it, you know, goes down the line of classic conditioning. Mm-hmm. So we use a variety of different psychological techniques in order to make sure that behavior is changed to enhance your health of yourself or your loved one. So it really is very primitive in nature, not just automating the process to ensure that there's transparency and accountability of medications being taken by the video recording. But let's just say, James, that you miss your medications, right? And your wife now knows that you missed your medications because she received a text message. How many times does it take for your wife to call you to remind you that you missed your medications for you to change your behavior?
Don't know, probably too many, but she would say anyway. Okay, so how is that information logged, stored? How does a text message go out? You've got me curious now about how this works in reality. Because I guess my initial thoughts are, okay, great, you know, the machine will dispense a certain cocktail of drugs, if you like, you know, at a certain time, which is pretty cool. I guess, you know, just recently I'd been on a cruise where literally cocktails were made by, you know, AI robotics, and it was all very fun. But, you know, in terms of the serious nature of this, so how is everything monitored, sent to caregivers, patients alerted, doctors alerted? How does that all tie together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we use is we have specific compliance standards in the US that they have to be encrypted and secured in such a way. So we make sure that all that information is protected. The way that it's communicated is based upon what works best for the specific disease state. So there's not just a one shot for everybody and anybody. It's really dependent upon the use case and the scenario. But let's just say, for your example, let's just say you had a heart condition and you needed some type of, you know, regular behavior. We would send you notifications through your phone to remind you to take your medications. And we measure whether or not and when you go to the device to take your medications, because there is a level of cognitive impairment based upon your response to the message and then to when you go to the device for actual medication consumption that takes place. And if that deviates, your wife or potentially your provider would be notified if there was a series of behaviors that weren't coinciding with your overall health and wellness.
Okay. So in a way, there's, again, I won't claim to understand the data science or anything like that, but there is a system in place to help the individual almost form and create a new habit, effectively, because that's what it is, isn't it, I guess? And that's probably where 90% of us fall down in terms of trying to either follow a fitness goal, follow a prescribed dosage of medicine, is just that when it's new, you know, we don't get up every morning and think, oh, I need to take this. You know, it's kind of, we need to get into the groove of it. So there is, it sounds like there's text messages that will go out. Is there anything else to support with that? And then there's also alerts and text messages that if there's a deviation of that, once the habit is formed, that also kind of help not just the patient, but the caregivers as well. Kind of like, is it like on your iPhone? I'm an iPhone user. And if I start doing more steps or less steps per day, it'll alert me and say there's been a change in your daily step habit. Is it similar to that in, I guess, layman's terms of you're not taking this at the right time? Is it similar to that at all? Or
yeah, there's a point of gamification, whether you use an iPhone or Android device, to congratulate you when you do take your medications and you do have the mobile app so you can track how you're doing and your behavior. So kind of like the step example that you gave, you can see your performance metrics and view them graphically on your own phone. But also if you have access to the caregiver, they can view them. And then overarching, you have physicians or nurses or pharmacists in the background that are cascading all of your medications and recordings to ensure that your health and well-being is taken care of. So there's a variety of layers depending upon the disease states and the cognitive awareness or impairment of the person that's using the device.
Sure. And what feedback have you had from, I guess, you know, direct users about that? Because, you know, if it's send you a text saying almost congratulations, do you find that there's that, I guess, that positive feedback, you know, are you then getting positive feedback on that, that kind of pat on the back mentality, a little bit of dopamine hit that helps create the habit?
Yeah, I'd like to tell you a story. This is a story with a patient that we have. This is a friend of a friend.
Right.
And her name is Gloria. She's a super feisty patient with memory care issues. So she does have dementia. And this is really outside of the use case of what we thought was possible with the Hydro device.
Right.
And we were able to, you know, give her a device just to see if it's possible. And her daughter, Gina, her daughter-in-law, Gina, wanted to try it out. So we gave this device to her in her home to see what was possible, to see what the capabilities of the Hydro device were. And what was interesting is that as you create those new behaviors, even somebody with memory issues, we know that it's possible with chaining technology, not to be confused with blockchain, but chaining technology, where if you follow a simple process, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you can repeat that over and over and create those long-lasting behaviors for your overall health. But what's interesting is once you actually change these behaviors in your mind, just like brushing your teeth or open up a door, they stay with you. So what was interesting with Gloria is that you wouldn't think it's possible for her to take her medications without assistance. But Gina went to a movie with her husband and messaged me. They called me on the phone and they said, "Hey, Charles, you know, Gloria took her medications. Something's wrong. You know, it's not possible." You know? And then I'm thinking to myself, it's not possible, right? This is crazy. So we checked the recordings to check up on Gloria, and Gloria took her medications on her own, but she has dementia, which is completely counterintuitive to anything that anybody would believe is possible. But what if it is possible? What if it's possible for somebody that has AI-assisted robotics in the home to care for themselves unassisted because they didn't have the technology to be an extra brain on their shoulder? You know, and I think that technology is here now, and we're just scratching the surface of what's possible. So stories like Gloria of what is possible now, and people with dementia that are capable of doing things on their own without being fully reliant on caregivers, that we're just scratching the surface.
Wow. And I guess, look, it sounds like, so you got the call and obviously you were like, you know, this is happening. You mentioned the video recording, which I'm assuming is on the device. Now, how does that element work? Because I mean, if people can form the habits, fantastic. And the video recording, is that anything to do with forming the habits, or is that just the logging of the data?
It's a combination of, there's a terminology called the Hawthorne effect. The Hawthorne effect means that your behavior will change if you know folks are watching you. So we do it for twofold. One is to change behaviors in a positive fashion. Two is to make sure that people are doing what they need to be doing to affect their health and wellness. And it gives us the documented logs so we can have those honest conversations with folks to ensure that they're following a pattern, or you can understand the cognitive aptitude of patients to maybe deviate medications or have a conversation with their caregivers if they do need extra assistance in the home. But we need to be honest with ourselves in what's going on with people in order to be able to deviate those patterns or behaviors.
Amazing. So I guess, what would you say has been, I guess, the biggest benefit that you've seen? I mean, that one, I mean, you were smiling just sharing that story. What have you seen as kind of the biggest and best received response from patients and caregivers? I guess for caregivers, it's just probably that peace of mind, right? That's probably how I would feel. But I'll let you kind of share the stories from your end, because I'm guessing you're living this day in, day out.
So there's burden that's happening in the entire healthcare ecosystem. So doctors, nurses, patients, caregivers, you know, even you and I, through our friends and our loved ones, you know, there's an amount of burden that exists because of the weight of having to do everything the second you walk outside of a facility. You know, that usually is fully dependent on people.
Mm.
And so what makes me so excited and so passionate about this is seeing people so happy that they can enjoy lifestyles of happiness, or, you know, going out and fishing again, or going out and do things with their family that they couldn't do before because they simply didn't have a controlled environment at home. Mm. So my happiness is when I see the stories of people when we go to their houses and see that they're returned back to what was normal.
Wow.
And they're living in this abnormal state. You know, if you think about Anthony and his stroke, you know, he used to walk his dogs for hours. Mm. You know, now he's in a wheelchair, but he's in a wheelchair with his dogs at his side now. You know, there's some semblance of freedom and independence that can happen right now. And that's what really drives me every single day, is because these stories are so impactful. You see people that almost feel hopeless inside. And being able to do something that can impact their lives and just change their lifestyle a little bit is just absolutely monumental in their mental health and their emotional well-beings.
Sounds amazing. As I say, if you're changing lives, you know, in that way, you know, I can only imagine that you must feel good about it too. I'm now thinking, I guess, kind of the bigger picture. So that my line of work is clinical research. You know, I'm in the recruiting or staffing space. Could this be, how would this perhaps fit into clinical trials? Because I guess, you know, you mentioned a moment ago, people leave the site or the facility and then they have to go away and, you know, they're put on a prescribed dosage or whatever it might be. Could you see this, I guess, being a massive impact to the clinical trials industry? Because it sounds like it could in terms of adoption. I think the biggest thing I often hear about decentralized trials and things is that, you know, it's the adoption. And, you know, and if it's just going to be a mobile phone app, you know, that's kind of one thing. But it sounds like there's perhaps a lot more to this that would help patients to get almost an even wider array of care options by taking part in clinical trials.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about the pharmaceutical industry as a whole, in clinical trials, you know, what if they knew dose by dose that their subjects are taking their medications according to how the study protocol is written?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not fully dependent on patients and their self-reported outcomes or their diaries cataloging when and where and what time they've taken their medications, because all of that is done for them. So the amount of errors or the data sets that they're getting right now may not be 100% accurate, because you're dependent on humans and humans make errors. But if we can catalog, you know, with no bias, when, where, dosage, timing, recording of all that information, then my belief is that we can accelerate drug development, because you can then study the true efficacy and safety of those molecules to an absolute T. Versus right now, where there might be a little bit of variability.
Fine. So I'm just thinking, I guess, look, I mean, that would be amazing if you could get this into clinical trials, because then I guess one, it would speed up that drug development process. But also I'm thinking of patients on the trials. And again, just thinking of that patient safety, patient, you know, access to therapies or medicines that they perhaps wouldn't otherwise get outside of trials, so that they can, you know, if this device was being used, probably feel the benefit more so than, again, being self-reliant on following a prescription. So where are you at with that? Is that something that you are targeting, or?
And we'd love to partner up with, you know, either clinical research organizations or sponsors that are looking to do, you know, phase one, two, you know, three or four or post-surveillance marketing trials with the Hydro device. So if there's folks out in Europe or the States or other countries that are interested in using technology where they would like to know real-time dose-by-dose adherence information, then we would love to partner up with those folks.
Sure. Well, look, hopefully there's, you know, people in our audience that are listening that will hear that and perhaps reach out to yourself, because it sounds like, yeah, I mean, everyone talks about it, you know, being patient centric and helping the patients. It sounds like this is a method that really does. It sounds to me like it's like a hat, like holding the hand of patients, isn't it? It's not that saying, okay, you're leaving the site, you're leaving the facility, off you go now. This is kind of that hand holding, not just for the patient, but also for caregivers, meaning that more patients can get access to the, you know, to the drugs that they need, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to believe that we bring the hospital to the home. You know, when you're in the hospital, you're in the clinic, you have a lot of resources. You have doctors, you have nurses, you have pharmacists. You're surrounded by a sterile environment that exists in that environment. But the second you step out in your own home, you look in the mirror. You know, that's who's supporting you. You might have some assistance, but the majority of it is you or your family or your friends. And that's a lot to take on. That burden is huge.
Yeah.
So what if we can recreate that environment in a fashion where it's consistent with the type of level that you were receiving before, but in the comfort of your home?
So it is that, yeah, it's kind of, it is, I like that, bringing the hospital home. And I guess that's where the, was it the Hawthorne effect comes in, knowing that to an extent you're being watched, you're being monitored, and there's some accountability to hold up your end, which is to follow the prescription that you have been given in comfort rather than having it kind of forced upon you.
Yeah, well, I mean, oftentimes, you know, when people go to the hospital or the clinic, they're stressed out and they may not communicate everything that's going on to their provider, their clinician.
Yeah.
You know, and that's common. So, you know, it's interesting because if you start looking at people and how they communicate and react, if they don't tell the physician or the nurse exactly what's going on with them themselves, how do physicians and nurses treat them? That's exceptionally complicated. But if you have a long lasting recurring loop of information that's tracking your behaviors, you can't deviate from that information. So you can have a very honest, you know, message and communication with your provider if they know what's going on. So let me give you an example. We had a patient that was taking diabetes medication. And this is a husband and wife. So the wife was supporting the husband's diabetes, and A1Cs are your blood sugar levels. And the higher they are in diabetes patients, the more at risk you are to have some type of serious event happening. But the caregiver, which is the wife, didn't really truly understand the impact of the specific medication, how important it was. So she was given the medication PRN, which is proRNAs, which is as needed. But this medication needs to be taken BID, which is morning and evening. And she wasn't giving it to him. So she needed to have that type of education to understand the importance of this medication so she could change her behavior that impacts her husband's health. But you would never have known this occurred because nobody was in the home. We needed to actually catalog that story to then have a moment in time where you can change a person's life. But in the hospital or the clinic, you never know what's going on in the home. And that we're missing a huge part of the healthcare ecosystem right now because of this giant question mark that exists in everyone's homes right now.
Wow. So it's part adoption, part understanding. And I guess with that feedback piece then, is it possible to, I guess, I know that it's got a screen to make sure that the right person is unlocking the device to take the pills, et cetera. Is there also something where you can log feedback on it, or is that text? Is it audio visual? Is it kind of, has it got everything like that as well? Because again, sometimes you start taking a prescribed thing, you may not feel good. Again, there might be adverse, you know, reactions, etc. And you might want to log that. Whereas I think sometimes if you're relying on your next visit to the doctor, it kind of gets forgotten about, swept under the carpet. And we do what we all do when we go out for, you know, a meal and the, you know, waiter comes over at the end of it. How was that? And everyone just says, oh yeah, it's great. You know, so in real time, when the frustration's there, can people log something or say, look, this isn't working?
Yeah. So you made a great comment. You know, oftentimes many adverse events are never reported.
Right.
It's unknown. We don't know because many folks don't report them at all. Mm. So if we don't know because people don't report them, then we don't understand the magnitude of what those issues are. And oftentimes, like we were talking about before, is those communications are almost lost in translation through patient to provider. So there is a way to log exactly what's going on. And, you know, an interesting part of the story with Gloria is that she used to put her makeup on and get ready because she knows she's being recorded and she would talk to me through the device and we would put messages back and forth, not just through the device, but I'd also message her on text message. So she would look forward to the interaction because a lot of people are living at home alone. They don't have any type of interaction with anybody else, but they could have an interaction with my team through the device to know somebody cares for them directly. Because when you see your doctor, you know, let's say once every 3 months, 6 months or a year, the touch point is not nearly as constant as something like this where you're interacting with every single day.
Wow. Yeah. And I guess that's, you know, that's going to have a positive impact on people's mental health as well, I guess. You know, if you are, you know, I don't know, you know, for somebody who is perhaps in a wheelchair, Anthony, you were mentioning, you know, of course he's with his wife and you mentioned his dogs, but not everyone has that. So I guess that interaction is probably a big player in this kind of innovation as well, Charles. So it's amazing. I mean, brings me on to, so what's next for yourself then? It sounds as though like there's people using the device, working, you're getting feedback from it. A couple of, you know, good success stories there with, you know, Anthony, Gloria. I'm sure there's plenty of others, but we've not got all day for that. What's next on, I guess, on your agenda in terms of, you know, expansion goals, et cetera?
Yeah, so we're scaling out. We're growing very quickly. We are looking to partner with a couple of health plans in California. Mm. And there's also a number of home healthcare companies in the states that have wider distribution. So our plan is to continue to grow. We've been looking at a couple of different financial situations for scaling. So there's investors and venture capital folks that we're also talking to in the background to really push this product to the market. Because as I see this issue, this is not just a localized issue. This is an issue that impacts people around the world. And if we can be a piece of a solution to be an extension of the hospital and the home or extension of their family to help care for those patients, that's our goal. Our goal is to make it the biggest impact as possible to as many folks that are needed of this type of technology.
Awesome. Well, I'll be backing you because, as I said, I just can't believe that this has not been around before, which just seems crazy to an extent. So yeah, I'll certainly be keeping an eye on your journey and wishing you the best. And I guess, look, I feel like we're at the end of the show now, but I've been looking at your t-shirt there and thinking Hido the whole time. Where did the company name come from?
Yeah, so Hido stands for Health Information Data Outcomes, and it really stems from trying to figure out the blueprint for health. And the blueprint for health, there's really three pillars that are involved. One is, you know, diet and nutrition. Two is exercise and mobility. And if you fail or if you have challenges with the first two, then you get to medications. And what's not understood, which is what I've had, you know, the biggest, you know, kind of brain explosion over, is that medication intake and understanding if people are taking their medications or not has been studied for many years, but we don't have the data sets to truly know what these cocktails of medications are doing to the human body. So the whole stemming of health information data outcomes is to truly understand that blueprint of medications so we can start giving people the best medications for the best outcomes possible so they can live their life the way they want to the best of their ability.
Amazing. Well, I'd say that's a pretty good note to end the show on there, Charles, about just giving patients the life that they deserve. So amazing stuff. Look, pleasure having you on the show. We'll most definitely keep in touch to follow this journey. I know that you and I are now connected on LinkedIn, so I'll be following you there. But look, is there anything else, I guess, for our audience and viewers, if anyone wants to reach out or learn more, what would you say? Where should they be, you know, viewing you, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, what's the best place to keep an eye on your story outside of this podcast?
Yeah, please go to our website. It's at hidohealth.com, hidohealth.com. And you can also sign up to our newsletter in the top right corner. So that's where I have a newsletter about the future of care. So please feel free to connect via LinkedIn or the website. And we'd love to hear, any feedback, comments, or potential partnerships. You can reach us there.
Top man. Well, look, thanks again for joining me on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, James.